shoes shined, hair perfect, with polite manner and a smile, you're likely to be much less suspicious. Maybe he's really Jason from the Friday the 13th movies, but you're willing to start out trusting that person as long as he looks normal and doesn't have a carving knife in his hand. What's less obvious is that we judge people on the telephone the same way. Does this person sound like he's trying to sell me something? Is he friendly and outgoing, or do I sense some kind of hostility or pressure? Does he or she have the speech of an educated person? We judge these things, and perhaps a dozen others, unconsciously, in a flash, often in the first few moments of the conversation. At work, people make requests of us all the time. Do you have an email address for this guy? Where's the latest version of the customer list? Who's the subcontractor on this part of the project? Please send me the latest project update. I need the new version of the source code. And guess what? Sometimes people who make those requests are people you don't personally know. Folks who work for some other part of the company, or claim they do. But if the information they give checks out and they appear to be in the know, Marianne said, "It's on the K16 server, revision 26 of the new product plans." We extend our circle of trust to include them and blithely give them what they're asking for. Sure, we may stumble a little, asking ourselves, why does somebody in the Dallas plant need to see the new product plans? Or, could it hurt anything to give out the name of the server it's on? So we ask another question or two. If the answers appear reasonable and the person's manner is reassuring, we let down our guard, return to our natural inclination to trust our fellow man or woman, and do, within reason, whatever it is we're being asked to do. And don't think for a moment that the attacker will only target people who use company computer systems. What about the guy in the mailroom? Will you do me a quick favor? Drop this into the intra-company mail pouch. Does the mailroom clerk know it contains a floppy disk with a special little program for the CEO's secretary? Now that attacker gets his own personal copy of the CEO's email. Wow. Could that really happen at your company? The answer is absolutely. Mitnick message. It's human nature to think that it's unlikely you're being deceived in any particular transaction, at least until you have some reason to believe otherwise. We weigh the risks, and then most of the time give people the benefit of the doubt. That's the natural behavior of civilized people. At least civilized people who have never been conned or manipulated or cheated out of a large amount of money. As children, our parents taught us not to trust strangers. Maybe we should all heed this age-old principle in today's workplace. The 1 cent cell phone. Many people look around until they find a better deal. Social engineers don't look for a better deal, they find a way to make a deal better. For example, sometimes a company launches a marketing campaign that's so good you can hardly bear to pass it up, while the social engineer looks at the offer and wonders how he can sweeten the deal. Not long ago, a nationwide wireless company had a major promotion underway offering a brand new phone for 1 cent when you signed up for one of their calling plans. As lots of people have discovered too late, there are a good many questions a prudent shopper should ask before signing up for a cell phone calling plan. Whether the service is analog, digital, or a combination, the number of anytime minutes you can use in a month, whether roaming charges are included, and on. Especially important to understand up front is the contract term of commitment. How many months or years will you have to commit to? Picture a social engineer in Philadelphia who is attracted by a cheap phone model offered by a cellular phone company on sign-up, but he hates the calling plan that goes with it. Not a problem. Here's one way he might handle the situation. The first call. Ted. First, the social engineer dials an electronics chain store on West Girard. Electron City, this is Ted. Hi, Ted, this is Adam. Listen, I was in a few nights ago talking to a sales guy about a cell phone. I said I'd call him back when I decided on the plan I wanted, and I forgot his name. Who's the guy who works in that department on the night shift?
There's more than one. Was it William?
I'm not sure. Maybe it was William. What's he look like?
Tall guy, kind of skinny.
I think that's him. What's his last name again?
Hadley. H-A-D-L-E-Y.
Yeah, that sounds right. When's he going to be on?
Don't know his schedule this week, but the evening people come in about 5.
Good. I'll try him this evening, then. Thanks, Ted.
The second call. Katie.
The next call is to a store of the same chain on North Broad Street.
Hi, Electron City. Katie speaking. How can I help you?
Katie, hi. This is William Hadley over at the West Girard store. How are you today?
Little slow. What's up?
I've got a customer who came in for that 1 cent cell phone program. You know the one I mean?
Right. I sold a couple of those last week.
You still have